Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome, as ever, to my Show Me the Science podcast. And I'm very happy every week to come along with a topic I've just come across and tell you all about it. And I'm very happy to get any emails. You can email me in Trinity. You'll find my email address. And please, if you want to make suggestions, I'm very happy to cover stuff. And it's interesting. I'm getting emails from people from outside Ireland who are tuning in, so that's very nice to see. But this week, I'm covering a very interesting story. If you're into evolutionary biology, it's the science of human evolution, actually, is the topic, but it's very specifically about Papua New Guinea. And this came out a couple of weeks ago now, a study where they got DNA from people living in Papua New Guinea, and they noticed certain variants in certain genes were more common in these populations that conferred on the populations certain survival benefits. Now, the history of human life and all life on Earth is about evolution. And I guess you're all familiar with survival of the fittest. We're all different, you know, and we all have slightly different genes. We're all Homo sapiens, obviously. We're 99.99% identical at the DNA level. But the slight differences, and a good analogy is your face is different to the next person's face. And it's the same, all your genes are the slight differences. And obviously, siblings can share things, and especially identical twins, as I discussed before. But we have these differences, and they're built in. Evolution has built this in. Every time you copy DNA, there's a slight error. And the error might be a bit different between us, and hence we see this variation. And then, of course, the great Darwinian discovery, natural selection, sort of forces then certain people with certain traits to survive and the rest die. And that's what evolution is. It's the survival of the fittest based on genetic differences between us. And this is kind of along those lines. It illustrates perfectly, actually, Darwinian evolution. And what it is someone decided to sequence the DNA in two groups of Papua New Guineans. They took some from the mountains and some from the jungles. Now, why would you do that? Well, 50,000 years ago, very good evidence for this, Homo sapiens arrived in Papua New Guinea. And the evidence is fossils. It's also somewhat in the DNA record. Because as people might know, as I mentioned this before, we evolved in Africa 200,000 years ago. And then we came out of Africa about 90, 100,000 years ago. And we went into Europe initially and also into Asia. And these very brave humans eventually got to Papua New Guinea 50,000 years ago. Now, when they arrived there, the environment was different, and we had survival of the fittest. And some of them survived in the mountains, and some survived in the jungle, and they took DNA from these people. Now, the good thing was that they were quite isolated for a long time. Nobody else went to Papua New Guinea. Explorers eventually went there, you know, sometime in the 16th and 17th centuries and encountered these people who were descended from a small number of people who had ended up in Papua New Guinea. By the way, we call this a founder effect. So they're all quite related, because we're all related, of course, as Homo sapiens. But these were even more related. So they're a good isolated population to look at, and especially in their DNA. And what they found was, remarkably, the ones who were living in the mountains had variants in genes that allow them to survive hypoxia. Now, when you climb up a mountain, there's lower oxygen. And you're going to suffocate, kind of. You know, obviously people, we need oxygen. There was selection of people who were carrying genes that allowed them to make more red blood cells and indeed more hemoglobin. Now, red blood cells are in your blood and they're the ones that carry oxygen. So you can imagine the ones at high altitude who happen to have better capacity for oxygen at that high altitude, they survive. And those genes, variants in those genes were found in those people. And one was called EPAS1. And it turns out that EPAS1 partly is involved in neuronal pathways in your brain that can sense oxygen. That was one of the genes that was seen. And the other one is called NCAPD2. Now, all these genes often have ridiculously hard to remember names. And I'm reading it off of my phone here, to be honest. But that gene can increase your red blood cell count. And remember, variants I'm talking about. We all have these genes, by the way. These people have overactive forms, which allow them to survive altitude. And if you didn't have those forms, you died out. And the ones who had them could survive and had offspring. And the descendants of those people are the ones that were analysed. And then what they noticed was the ones in the jungle didn't have those variants because there was no pressure to select them out because there was no hypoxia, no low oxygen at sea level. Instead, they had a variant in a very important gene called GBP2. Now, my lab has an interest in GBP2 because guess what? It's tied into inflammation. And in fact, GBP2 is a regulator of inflammation. And the ones at lower altitude had a variant in that was more active. Now, what would that be good for? Well, anybody who listens regularly will remember you need inflammation to fight infection. And when you get a, imagine you have a cut on your hand and it gets infected, it gets all inflamed because an inflammation brings in the immune system. It goes red because the blood rushes in and the white blood cells come out and it starts to swell up. And that's the immune system fighting the infection. Now, guess what? In the jungles of Papua New Guinea, they reckon when humans arrived there, and certainly even in recent times, there was a 40% mortality from infectious diseases in those jungles. The reason being malaria. Malaria is endemic there. Also, certain bacteria are very common there. And if you cut yourself and got infected, high risk of infection. And you can see now people with an overactive inflammatory process are more likely to survive. And then we see that variant in GBP2 in these people living in the jungles of New Guinea. Now, again, as I've said, what a great piece of evidence for evolution. What gets me is, why did people question evolution? Some still do, of course, strangely. There are people walking around who think the Earth was created 6,000 years ago. That's their choice, if you will. But the evidence is just remarkable that evolution over hundreds of thousands of years is true. And this is yet more evidence for that. And again, you can see how it works. People arrive in Papua New Guinea. The ones with the genes to fight the nasties survive and pass those variants on. And the ones who climb up the mountains survive because they can handle the low oxygen and they pass those genes on to the offspring. And that's the way evolution works, the rest of the people dying off. Now, what was also extremely fascinating from this study, and the reason why it's got such a good press and noted carefully, is where do those genes come from? Well, guess what? When we arrived in Papua New Guinea, we met a third subspecies of human. Now, you'll all have heard of Neanderthals. They were a subspecies of human, mainly in Europe. And when Homo sapiens, the other species of human, when we went into Africa, or into Europe, we met the Neanderthals. And guess what? They all died off. But the thing is, we interbred with them. And that was always a big question. And it was controversial up to about 15, 20 years ago. There was some evidence for this, but people didn't really believe it. The DNA evidence told us that we interbred. And you can imagine then we went into Europe. Now, Europe, by the way, was only about 40,000 years ago. And we met the Neanderthals. There was a bit of interbreeding. And then we went back to breed with our fellow Homo sapiens. And the genes we picked up from Neanderthals would then get diluted out. Because obviously the offspring of the initial coupling, it'd be 50-50, 50 Neanderthal, 50 Homo sapiens. But if that offspring goes back and breeds with the Homo sapiens, there's more Homo sapiens DNA and it gets diluted. And they reckon at the moment around about 5% of our DNA in Europe is from Neanderthals. Now, guess what? There was a third species of human. And they were found in a cave in Siberia called Denisova. And there were Russian scientists found these bones. Initially, it was a finger bone. Got the DNA out and spotted this is a different species, subspecies of human. It's a bit. It's very similar to Homo sapiens and Neanderthals, but it's a bit different. And they were named Denisovans because the cave was called Denisova. Named actually because a guy called Denis used to live in the cave. There was a hermit who used to live in this cave, so they named the cave after him. And now they're called Denisovans. And we think from their DNA that what happened really was our lineage of humans, it broke off into two groups. One became us. The other broke a second time and became Neanderthals and Denisovans. And there's similarities and differences. Now, we know then that these variants in the genes for red blood cells or in GBP2 came from Denisovans. So again, Homo sapiens arrive in Papua New Guinea, interbreed with the Denisovans, and then the offspring carry those genes, incredibly. And again, this is because we have Denisovan DNA to compare the Papua New Guinea DNA to, if you can follow my logic there. It's very straightforward in a way. So whatever it was, we picked up these advantageous genes. Now remember, this wasn't designed in any way. It just so happened that the offspring had them, and then survival of the fittest begins. And if you're carrying GBP2 from the Denisovan, you survive infection and your offspring carry that gene forward. If you climb up the mountains and you inherit the gene from Denisovans, it looks as if there may have been a Denisovan with both. And some of those Denisovans could live up the mountains or in the jungle. Whereas we turn out to be slightly different as two sets of tribes, if you will, in Papua New Guinea, some living up the mountain and some in the jungle. But it's remarkable that this evidence is so compelling that it was interbreeding between us and the Denisovans that allowed this to happen. Now, of course, it's interesting scientifically, obviously enough, but the question is, would it be any use to us? Well, first of all, it's part of our history as a species. or Homo sapiens all over the world, and this interbreeding with Neanderthals in Europe, or by the way, the Denisovans mainly were in Asia, gave rise to modern humans, if you like. In fact, some Asians have as much as 5, 6, 7% Denisovan DNA. We know that as well, including the native Australians. They would have picked it up along the way as they travelled towards Australia. So that's interesting. The history of life on Earth is interesting, beginning 200,000 years ago with Homo sapiens. By the way, the common ancestor of the three subspecies was 700,000 years ago, to give you an idea. Over time, natural selection works and evolution works over thousands, tens of thousands of years. But the thing is, you know, we now know the history then of this in terms of our history on Earth. But more importantly for me personally, there could be a usefulness in this. Now, there are various diseases where you don't have enough oxygen, anemias of various kinds. I guess people might have anemia. That means your blood can't carry oxygen and can be devastating. We can now study more. These two genes discovered in these Papua New Guineans could be useful now. Could we boost them? Could we correct them? Could we, you know, help people basically who suffer from anemia is one example. Another one that someone was asking me was, what about athletes? Could they carry those genes and then carry more oxygen? That probably would be a subtle kind of sophisticated type of doping in sport. But certainly the first place is it might help us understand blood disorders. And then, of course, from my work that I'm interested in, GBP2. If we can trigger that, say with a new drug or whatever, it'll help the immune system, won't it? You know, without stimulating too much. Maybe better vaccines if you can trigger the GBP2 pathway. And the flip side of the coin is, what if you dampen it down? You'll suppress inflammation, which could be used for various inflammatory diseases. So what we call this validation in my business, by the way. Like, why do drug companies decide to go after a specific target? It needs to be validated. And validation means experiments of various kinds. But here we have further validation that GBP2 is a very important part of the inflammatory process, because we see it in these Papua New Guineans who survive infection. And again, you can imagine how drug companies might design drugs to modulate that in various ways and give rise to new therapies. So it's extremely, this could turn out to be extremely useful, as well as telling us about the history of Homo sapiens on Earth, specifically in this case, the Denisovans. So there you have it, the science of human evolution, and in particular the science of red blood cells and surviving hypoxia and boosting your immune system, and all from studying DNA in populations that live today in Papua New Guinea. So thanks as ever for listening. And of course, my podcast is available every Thursday. It's a News Talk production. You can download it wherever you get your podcasts, and all the very best.